Welcome to the Laundry Hour, a podcast encouraging stay-at-home moms to fulfill their God-given and extraordinary purpose in their seemingly ordinary lives. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Laundry Hour. I am excited that you're here because I'm excited to share with you that today is my husband's birthday. And I wanted today to be a special all about him. He is not on the podcast today, but hopefully he will hear it. So I know we were supposed to continue the love series today, and we got a little off track with my bonus from last week because that was unexpected, but y'all know me. I pivot a little bit. We come back to where we're supposed to be often, and I hope that you enjoy the little things that I give you in between. So, it's my husband's birthday today. Yay! And I don't know if he wants me to tell you this, but he's 26. And I am older than him, so for all of my women out there that are older than their husbands, I got you. Yes, so I have like 5 questions/topics that I kind of want to answer today concerning my lovely husband. So the first question is, did I always want to get married? This is kind of funny because I'm like interviewing myself. Anyways, did I always want to get married? A lady at church asked me this yesterday, which I thought was so interesting, and I shared with her that I think I just always assumed I would get married. Like, I wasn't the girl that was like, I want to be a wife and mom, that's what I want to do. Like, I wasn't that person. Like, I remember a girl in high school saying she just wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, and she, you know, like, we had opportunities to use the internet for whatever we wanted. People played games, people looked at videos. I don't know what other people did, but she always looked at wedding dresses. And I remember thinking that was really weird that all she wanted to be was a stay-at-home mom. Like, I still had, I don't know what my dream was, but I know I had some type of dream of doing theater somewhere, somehow. At the same time, I know that I wanted a relationship. I know that, like, I assumed I would get married and assumed I would have children. So, I guess my answer is yes. But I think it's funny that I am now a stay-at-home mom. How did my husband and I meet? Well, this is a really pretty, crazy, awesome, wonderful God story. The short answer is Twitter. And the long answer is God put us together. That's also really short, but I have to explain the long answer. So, we did not use Twitter to find each other. Let me put that out there first. It was his senior year of high school, and I was a freshman in college. So that's how you know I'm older than him. And that was the same year that I started having a relationship with Jesus. And this is about like 2011-ish. Yeah. So Twitter was still very important to me. I mean, it's still pretty important to other people, but it's really funny because neither of us have Twitters. We don't have social media at all now, but we didn't have Twitter. That was like the first thing that we stopped having. But I started unfollowing a lot of the friends that I had and following people that thought and talked like me or like I wanted to, you know, have on my feed constantly, something that I'm inputting into my heart and soul. And somewhere in there, I followed somebody that followed him. Social media suggests people that are similar to you. So, yeah. Thank you, Lord, for algorithms. And then one day, that person that I followed retweeted something that my husband said. I don't remember what he said, but he said something that I thought was profound and cool to the point where I wanted to follow him myself. And so I did that, and one day he posted a question about the Bible, and I attempted to answer it. We have gone back when we had Twitter, went back to try and find out what that question was or what the conversation was about, couldn't find it, which makes me a little sad, but I knew it was about the Bible and Jesus, and we were talking like that was our first conversation, our meeting, sort of. And from there, like, Twitter has like a direct messaging system, and we talked a little bit privately and exchanged numbers. And then, of course, it was like exciting because it was like, oh, I think I like him. And then I assume he was like, I think I like her. And so we talked a little bit on the phone. We would text a few, text a lot more than talking, obviously. Anyways, so that was in 2011. We didn't start dating until 2015. So in that 4-year time span, like, we just talked on and off. Like, there were moments where we were like just chit-chatting, you know, talking conversation. There were moments where we were like actually like, oh, I like you. You know, there are moments where he liked me, I didn't like him, or I liked him, he didn't like me. There are moments where we dated other people or liked other people and then would talk about those other people together, which was even more strange. And then there were even moments where he would be really open about his feelings and I would not respond. There was one specific time, I don't remember what he said, but let's just assume he was like, I like you, I would love to see where this goes. And I was like, ugh. Because mind you, we met on Twitter. That means in this 4-year time span, we've never physically met each other, ever. I am from Chicago, he's from South Carolina, he went to school there, I went to school in Ohio. We've never met each other. So all of this is via phone by this point. Like, I think we've not given up on Twitter. Like, it was just the meeting ground. But I think we would still retweet or anything. But, like, we didn't talk on there anymore. Like, so it was all through phone. But we never met each other in this time span. So all this like was technically theoretical. And so when someone is like, I would love to see where this goes, that means I've got to meet you. That means, what if you don't like me? That means I got to make sure my feelings are real. That means, you know, all of the things, all of the foolishness that you think in the moment. And then you don't text the boy back. And then eventually, like a week later, I think, I text him back and apologized. He said nothing to me. And I was like, I'm the worst person ever. I have ruined everything. I'm so mean. He's never going to talk to me again. This is over. It's, you know. And I don't know how much time passed. Let's assume 3 months, because I feel like it was always 3 months in between the times we talked. And it would always happen where I'd pray for him, or I'd see something he wrote, or I'd have a conversation about him with a friend that he would text me. Like, it was to the point where it was like, well, we're talking about him, so be aware, he's probably going to text me soon. And he would. Like, it was creepy, but really cool at the same time, because now I see that as confirmation that the Lord was working. But anyways, he texted me 3 months after I basically am the rudest person to him. And he texted me like everything was fine. And I was really confused, like really confused what was going on. And I was reading Passion and Purity by Elizabeth Elliot about a different boy, strangely enough. But I remember in that whole moment, like, feeling like God was changing one season and opening a next, and opening my eyes to my husband and saying, I am doing something here. Like, there is no coincidence that this boy, this man, has been in your life for the last 4 years. And my husband would always say, like, there are other girls right where I am, but, like, she's the consistent person. Like, why is she consistent in my life? No one else is consistent. All other girls come and go and this, that, and the third. But, like, she's always been here. And, like, I've always... And he's always been there for me. Like, our whole college experience, we had each other in some form of another. And so it got to this place where we said, okay, we're gonna make this work. And then he was like, we should wait until we finish school and then we'll see each other. And then at that moment, I was like heartbroken because the situation with the other boy didn't work out. And then he says that and I'm like, nobody wants me, God. And God was like, first, I want you. And two, relationship time is not now. Like, I was playing a worship song and cleaning my apartment. And I don't know what you believe about audible voices. I don't think it was an audible voice, but I felt like it was this voice I heard in my spirit. And, but I heard God say that. That truth held me through this next year where him and I would talk on and off, and he would seem like he was interested. I would feel like the Lord was saying, okay, now is it time? Now he's interested? Is it time? Like, there was even a week over the summer, because when that happened, that was January. So over the summer, there was a week that him and I prayed about it together. And then at the end of the week, he was like, it was his suggestion, by the way, to pray. Well, no, it was his suggestion that we date at the sometime in the summer season. And I said, I think we should pray about it, because, you know, I want you to be resolute that this is what you want to do. He's like, that's a good point. And then, of course, at the end of the week, he was like, I don't think the Lord said yes. And I was like, well, is it my fault that I called us to pray, or is this a good thing? Because he wasn't resolute yet. Anyways, so fast forward, because I think after that we didn't talk for a few months. Somewhere in there, though, he transfers to a school in Tennessee, in Nashville area. I know that sounds familiar to you, the Nashville area. And I actually had a theater workshop that I was doing at the same school that he was transferring to. Now, I don't know the details, if I found that school before or if I found that school after. If my husband was telling this, he would say that I found it after I knew he was going there and stalked him and went there. I don't think that's how it happened, but since I'm not sure, I'm not going to speak on it definitively. But I can say I went to the school for a theater workshop 2 weeks before he moved into that school and started his junior year. So, then what happens? Oh, then I think we talk around that time just for a little bit, because I was like, hey, I'm at your school. And of course, I used that as an opportunity to have a conversation with him. Yeah, I don't remember how long we talked in that moment, but I do remember October we talked a little bit, and then everything changed January 2015. That whole year for me was just like up and down and round and round, and God, is it time? God, is it not time? I'm impatient. I'm okay. I would like him. I'll be fine. And January 1st, 2015, out of nowhere, this man texts me and asks me, where will you be in 3 weeks? And I was like, Chicago? Or where are you? Or something. I don't remember specifically. But the point of the story is, it got to the point where he was like, okay, so this is what God has been telling me the last, like, month or so. I feel like, you know, kind of all of the things that I've kind of said throughout this time, like, you've been the most consistent person. Like, it seems like God is doing something. Reading through about the promised land, and the Israelites had a choice. Were they going to fear the people in the land, or were they going to trust God and step in and him saying, you know, I don't want to fear what God could have for me, because he's like, there are all these girls here that I see in person. I've never met you. You're the most consistent. And I don't want my story to be that I met my wife on Twitter. So that's why I don't want it to be you, not you specifically, just the concept of you, you know? But then also having a conversation with, like his mentor, pastor friend at the time, who was just saying that he felt called to this church. Like, other churches, I could use my gifts, but this church, I'm meant to be here. And my husband was like, I thought of you. Like, I could work with other girls. I've tried to work with other girls. They've worked. They could work. It could happen. But I feel called to you. Now, he and I haven't talked for 3 months now. And this is what he says to me. This is the most clear, succinct that it's ever been, though. And I'm like, probably, you know, super excited and giddy that it's like finally happening. But at the same time, like, God, this has happened before. What do I do? I don't want to put my heart in this. And then a week later, he's like, I don't think so. You know, I don't fully remember how the conversation went, but I do remember him saying to him, like, you know, like, if you are serious about this, like, you need to talk to me every day, because we can't do this 3 months on, 3 months off thing. Like, that doesn't work for me. So I just remember making him commit to talking to me every day, and he did every day. We would talk after that. Not only text, but then we would talk on the phone, like, for hours about all the things. Like, everything changed that day. Like, and that next day, he asked me to be his girlfriend. And I was like, well, you know, see, the last month, you have been thinking about this, but I, you know, haven't been thinking about it. So, like, can you give me a second to, like, think and pray? And my thinking and praying, you know, of course, was like, God, what is going on? But I'm a journaler, so I looked back at all my journals for the last 4 years and looked back at everything that God had said, everything that he had done, everything that he already confirmed that seemed like coincidences the 4 years prior. But then also what he said a year ago, that relationship time was not now. I said, okay, what is it now? It's now time. The Lord said, yes. And then we met each other and we dated. And he was in Nashville at the time. I was in Ohio, so we were a lot closer in proximity so that we could actually meet. And it was like, for the first few seconds, like, oh my gosh, I see you in person. But then after a while, I was like, oh, feel like I've known you like my whole life. This is weird. And so this is January 2015. We get engaged April 2015. We get married August 2015. Yes, I know. It sounds fast. It looked fast. But after 4 years of drudging, once you knew, we knew. I graduated with my master's in May of 2015, and so I moved, once we got married in August, I moved to South Carolina, where he was while he was finishing his undergrad, and then it was pretty great, and now somebody's waking up, and I think it's my husband. So he woke up. And I'm excited to spend some time with him. So I'm actually going to finish with one of the last questions that I have. And it's probably the best question. Why I'm grateful for and what I love about my husband. First, I will say, you know how, like, the mother of the groom gifts that brides can give, and they say, like, thank you for raising the man of my dreams. Well, because I wanted to give my mother-in-law something, I made, like, I painted her, like, two canvases, and the first one says, like, most say, thank you for raising the man of my dreams, and I say, thank you for raising the man I never knew I needed, something like that, and I still believe that to be true. The same girl who assumed she'd get married, the same girl that, like, other girls would just, like, write down, oh, yeah, this is what I want in him, and this is this, that, and the third, and now those lists are sometimes not real at all, but some of them, people really think about what they want. Sorry. But I never, like, really thought, not only about husbands, but children and career or Jesus or just life in general. I, like, in high school was just walking through and doing things, you know? So I never really thought intentionally about life. So I'm very grateful that Jesus already had it all planned for me. But I am grateful for my husband first because he is exactly what I needed, and I didn't even know I needed it. We are so different in a lot of ways, and he is, like, really strong in all the areas that I am, like, I personally am weak. And I know that, like, in relationships of any kind, that is a great thing to see, and for the most part, like, it is true. But, like, when I think about my husband and I, like, I think it is, like, and it's probably just because it's me, and I over-exaggerate a lot of things. I just think it is so true with us. Like, he is a thinker. Like, he's always thinking and planning and preparing. And sometimes I do that, but most of the time I don't. Like, for example, I am recording this the morning of, and I mean, it works for me, but I remember him telling me, like, you should record it, like, the week before, you're just ready, and then you just post it the morning of. And I'm sure when he thinks of that, he's gonna be like, yeah, I did tell her that. I used to do it, husband, I want you to know that. But he's the thinker, he's the planner, he, like, always thinks about perspective, like, always, like, what could they be thinking, what could actually be happening, you know, like, when in moments where we're like, oh my gosh, they hate me, they're not my friend anymore, they said this to me, he's like, well, let's just think about that, they could have meant this, they could have been doing this, they could be going through this, they, you know, and, like, all of the, this could be happening, like, let's just think more broadly about the situation. That helps you say, oh yeah, I can stop freaking out, because, yeah, that is probably true. Or, yes, I should do better, because this is probably what's going on in their life as well. It's not just about me. It's about loving them. And that's what a lot of his perspective helps me do, not only with other people, but perspective with each other, because then he gives me perspective about his, how he views things, and of course that changes then how I think about stuff. And so I am grateful for the way he gives perspective. Obviously, I'm grateful for the way that he loves Jesus and pursues him and loves me and pursues me. I still don't understand it. I still don't understand that moment that he does not remember, where I was, like, a big jerk to him, and he talked to me again. Like, that felt like the forgiveness we get from God, where we do something horrible and he forgets. Like, it is not counted against us. It's as if it never happened. That type of grace and forgiveness, then, that he doesn't even remember, is what turns my heart towards him. It continues to turn my heart towards him, because I mess up a lot, and he still loves me. that leads me to the fact that I also really love and am grateful for the fact that he walks with me through things, even things that he doesn't know how to walk with me through. He desires to, and desires to figure out how to walk me through my emotions and my past struggles and my weaknesses that are his strengths. Like, how do you teach a girl who, like, if you're a thinker, how do you teach somebody else to be a thinker? Or if you are a perspective giver, how do you think of how do you walk with someone through seeing perspective? You know, I guess in some ways it's like, you know, a teacher, like, they're gonna get it, and I can't wait for the light bulb to click. And the better teachers are the ones that will try different tactics to help the student get to that light bulb moment. And my husband is like that with me. Is he perfect? No. There are moments, of course, where he's just like, why don't you get it already? And of course, I'm also like, why don't you get it already? But then we apologize and we get over it, and then we just go back to, okay, let's try another way. We're going to get this. We're going to walk through this together. I appreciate that. He doesn't leave me. He doesn't, want anyone else. He assures me very much so that he does not want anyone else, that I am perfect for him, that he still believes that he is called to me. I am called to him. We were created for one another. And even though we don't fit in a lot of ways, we also fit in a lot of ways. Which is beautiful and great and really exciting. And of course, I also love him, and I'm grateful for the fact that he's funny and attractive and tall. He's also a really great worker. Like, he will do whatever it takes to provide for our family, you know, short of illegal activity. But he's really good at that too. And working hard and being creative and thinking of new ideas of how to take care of us, because, you know, he just turned 26 and I stay home. And we're about to have 3 kids. Yeah, you do the math. My husband figures out how to take care of us and do well financially. He's also pretty great at, like, just being overall excellent at whatever he does. Like, he knows where his strengths are. He knows where his weaknesses are. He will not, like, deeply pursue a weakness, but he will just pursue his strengths, and which is, of course, that makes him look like Superman most of the time. Of course, he is not, but he looks like it, and it's kind of cool to be married to Superman, or at least the thought of him. But at the end of the day, also, he remembers Jesus and pursues him and hears me when I remind him of Jesus too. And I love that is where we meet, where we met, truly where we met and where we continue to meet. Yeah. So happy birthday, babe. Well, I'm excited to see you now. And I hope that this blesses your heart. But I hope it also blesses everybody else's heart here, because this is the love series. And I love my husband. And I hope, I know he's not words of affirmation, right? So I'm technically not saying it to him. But I hope that this gesture of service and just thinking about and talking about encourages you, women. If your husband is a words of affirmation type of guy, but continues in the vein of what we are supposed to do and who we are supposed to be, and how we are supposed to love others and love God. And so I'm excited to continue that this week because next month we will actually be talking about loving your husband. So yeah, I'm going to go now, but I'm going to pray for you real quick and leave you with 2 Peter 1:2. So God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity to spend some time thinking about the husband that you've given me. And because I have done that, I pray that it's making these women think about the husband you've given them, why they're grateful for them, what they love about them, how they met, and all those exciting feelings that they had once upon a time that they can continue to have if they're newlyweds or have been married for decades. I pray that you would just help us to keep sparks and romance and interest and intimacy alive in our marriages, and that we would just continue to make our husbands feel special, and they would continue to make us feel special. So thank you for today. Thank you for these marriages. Thank you for my marriage. And thank you for the picture that you give us in marriage of Christ and the church, the ultimate marriage. We get to be your spotless bride, and you are our ever-coming groom. We are excited for the day where we get to officially be your wife. So help us to use that excitement and model it in our marriages today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you love today's episode, please subscribe. If you liked it, that's not the next one. You know how sometimes you just remember and then your brain like goes flirp? If you liked it, please subscribe. If you loved it, please share. If you got a habit, please write a review. I truly would love to hear what you have to say. And if you want more, tune in next week because we actually will talk about some examples about loving God and loving others. And then May, we will start talking about how to love your husbands. But until then, I will leave you with 2 Peter 1:2. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ rest on you and your families. I love you.